Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. In my trouble sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my trouble sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
Thank you.
before, moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my God. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. For me not to believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of a sea. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well, it is well.
It is well. Trust you more, Lord. Even when our eyes can't see. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great. Your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord, and all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, we praise you, Lord, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we lift up your name, it's high above all.
Indeed, Lord, we pour out our praise to you this morning. Lord, we are grateful that we can be in this place in your house to sing you praise, to lift up your name, to worship you, to spend some time at the foot of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a precious gift that is. What a precious place it is to be at your feet, Father God. Lord, we just worship you this morning, Father God. We sing you praise, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know there are many that are hurting and suffering and struggling this morning. Lord, I don't know them all by name, but you do. I know they're there. I know they're questioning, they're wondering, they're doubting. Lord, I pray in your all-consuming way that you would speak to each and every one of those individuals this morning. Lord, I pray that you would show up, so to speak, in their lives in a new and fresh and different way. God, I pray that you would reignite the fire that needs to be reignited in their lives this morning, Lord. I pray that a new passion, a new desire, a new longing would overtake them today. Lord, and of course we pray that you would meet their every needs, whatever it is, emotional, spiritual, social, physical, whatever that need is, Lord, that you would meet it. You would provide, you would touch. Lord, I pray that you would just move up and down every row, aisle, within every cluster of chairs here. I pray that you would be with those watching at home in their bedrooms or family rooms or living rooms or wherever they're at. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to hearts and lives today. Pray that you would encourage and comfort and bless today, Father God. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We can be lifting up all these things to you today, Father. We ask them all in Jesus' name. Amen. 40 years of ministry. We have a little bit mixed in with that, but you'll hear that in a minute. But the crux of things this morning is about the ministry that's taken place here at Sanctuary. And it was one very frigid morning 40 years ago that God gave birth to a ministry in Batavia called New Life Assembly of God. Now, that picture was the previous building that we met in and worshiped in. That is not where they first met. They actually met at the Batavia Civic Center for a while until they were able to purchase that first building. The cold days that we have been enjoying so much this last week very much remind me of the first day that this ministry took place. It was on January 10th, 1982, that Pastor Paul Weiss and his wife Carla, along with two other families, met for the first time. And they did it on the coldest year in record. That day, wind chills were well into the double-digit negatives. Quite a bit colder than anything we've experienced this past week. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, wind chill was like negative 26 degrees that morning. There was a story that was told for many, many years that Carla looked at Paul and said, "Should we meet? Should we cancel?" And Pastor Paul said, "Cancel? I don't even know who to call. How could we cancel?" So they met for the first time on that super cold morning. Now, personally, I was not there. I did not get to experience that brand new first day service. But it wasn't a whole lot longer before I came on the scene. I started attending New Life in December of 1986. And it's been my church home, my church family ever since. Obviously, when I first attended, I spent some time in the youth ministry. I spent some time in the singles ministry. But it wasn't long before I wasn't simply attending, but I was actually helping to lead those ministries. And who knew back then that just that less than 8 years later, I would be on staff at the church, leading those groups on a regular basis. And believe it or not, I'm actually approaching the six-year mark now as being the lead pastor or the senior pastor. It's a little mind-blowing to think that God knew all of that on that cold January morning back in 1982. He's known about all of this stuff. And there's no question that He has done a lot. I can attest to it in the 35 plus years that I've been here, that I've been a part of things. You know, we've seen a lot of changes in this ministry as a whole. We've grown in number, and honestly, there's been periods and times where we've shrunk in number. We have started new ministries and we have retired old ministries. We have, as a church, we have rented space. How many of you know where Apple Villa is today? We actually used to rent that space out before it was ever finished into anything. We used to have Sunday school class there, and youth used to meet over there. We have rented space. We have purchased property. We have sold property. We've met in a movie theater and suffered through the smell of freshly popped popcorn when we couldn't have any. We've built a building from the ground up, a brand new facility. We've renovated the house twice. It's crazy the amount of stuff we've done. We've even gone as far as changing our name. I mentioned before that we started off as New Life Assembly of God, and of course today we are known by Sanctuary. I can't even begin to tell you all the memories that have been flooding back to me over this week as I've prepared and written and gotten ready for this morning. The past certainly holds many lessons for all of us to glean from and moments to reflect on. And it's also, honestly, a very good measuring rod of where we've been and where we are. It's easy when we look back to see what growth we have made. There's no question in my mind that God has been the center point of ministry here at Sanctuary Now for those past 40 years. And there's no question that He has done some absolutely amazing things in and through the people that have called this ministry home. Let me just give you a few examples of that. Not all of you know some of the history that there has been in this church. A few examples, we have seen many, many teenagers that have gone on different short-term missions trips. Nepal, Africa, on and on. We could talk about different places that we have supported, helped raise money for, and sent teenagers on short-term missions trips. We have seen adults. Years ago, Pastor Paul, the founding pastor, but there was another gentleman by the name of Pastor Randy, left ministry here at Sanctuary to go into full-time missions work. So we have seen missionaries come from this church. We have seen staff members that have left Sanctuary and gone on to start or lead other churches in various locations. One of them is leading an incredibly successful ministry that He has built from the ground up in Colorado today. Just amazing what God has done through individuals that have been here. Thousands and thousands of dollars have been given to missions, to BGMC, to other local ministries that we support here in the area. We have fed and clothed more people than any of us here will ever know, than any of us will ever understand. We have been able to do the dirty laundry of complete strangers and tell them about how much God loves them at the same time. We have presented Christ in a myriad of ways, concerts and programs and plays and Alpha, all through the years. We have presented the gospel to all ages of people. And we have done it in such a way that it's glorified God. Of course, we've rejoiced as people have called Jesus their Lord and Savior for the first time. We've dedicated more babies than I can possibly think of. And of course, we have baptized hundreds and hundreds of others. Sometimes when the water is warm, sometimes when it's frigid. But we've baptized many, many others. We can testify to God's healing hand. We have experienced it here in this very building. We know people that have been healed from cancer, people that have been made whole. And not just physically, we can attest to the restoration of relationships. We can talk about the renewing of wayward loved ones. I mean, there is so much that we have seen, so much that has happened, all in this little ministry that God put on the map 40 years ago. I'm going to repeat a couple of things this morning that I have said many a times, but I think they're very, very important things, so that's why they're going to be repeated this morning. First of all is the fact that I truly, truly believe that God has given us much and God expects much from us. In fact, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 tells us that. Depending on your translation, it says something to the effect of, to whom much is given, much is required. God has not brought this ministry this far without having an incredible plan that is yet to unfold in front of us. I want you to take a moment, if you're listening to this, take just a moment and think biblically about the idea of 40 years. How long did God train Moses in each of his phases of life? 40 years. 40 years. How long did the Israelites spend maturing before they were allowed to enter the promised land? 40 years. You know, that's a pretty significant number, to be honest with you, in Scripture. If you look at that number 40, it appears over 140 times in Scripture. It's like 146 or 147 times it appears, that number. And of course, we know the idea of numerology, the study of numbers. We know that numbers can apply to things and we can gain meaning and understanding to what different numbers in Scripture represent. The number 40, if you were to do a study on that, it has come to represent a period of testing or a time of preparation. A period of testing or a time of preparation. 40 years. There is so much that has happened in the past 40 years here at Sanctuary, but there is so much more yet to do. God has only begun to scratch the surface of what's possible through this ministry. I know the world looks much different today than it did in 1982. But guess what? God isn't any different today than He was in 1982. God still does the miraculous. God still functions the same way He's always functioned. God still disciples and disciplines and encourages and heals. And God still puts together plans that include us, His creation. He still has ways He wants to use us and things He wants to do through us. Last week we talked about discipline. We talked about training. We talked about sacrifice. all in the idea of achieving maturity in our lives. And I know that that is a hard lesson to learn. I know that's a hard lesson to walk through. Trust me, I know, I get it. And in no way do I mean to communicate or share with you that there's disappointment in any way about what has happened here at Sanctuary in the past and how things have gone. I simply just believe that there is so much more yet to come. Think about the next 40 years and what levels God wants us to move to in those next 40 years. We have so much more that we can look forward to, so much more that we can look ahead to as God prepares this little church on Winmouth Road to be a lighthouse in this dark, dark world. Reflecting on the past can certainly help us to learn and grow. It can give us a benchmark of progress, as I said earlier, but it cannot be what we hold on to. As great as things may have been, as wonderful as we look at them, as excited as we get about remembering those past successes, it cannot be what we hold on to. We need to take a good hard look at the past, learn from it, and then get excited about the years that lie ahead of us. Get excited about the next 40 years of ministry that God is ready to pen in our lives, in this church's life. And we need to be excited about it so that in the year 2062, someone else can stand here and talk about the 80 years of ministry that God has done through this little church, through this group of believers. You know, we need to remember something. I love this illustration. We need to remember that we, as individuals, are one small piece in God's giant puzzle. Yet without each of us as individuals, that puzzle is incomplete. We are but one piece in the puzzle, but without this piece, the puzzle is incomplete. Every ministry that's ever functioned here at Sanctuary has been used by God for His glory and honor. Yet there is still more ministry events and issues, some we've never even dreamed of yet, that are out there for us to still do. And as we move forward in these next years of ministry, it is going to take commitment from each and every one of us. One person, two person, 10 people, quite honestly, are never going to get the job done. It will never be sufficient. It takes all of us to be involved in this. Again, another thing I keep repeating time after time, and this is something I truly believe. God laid this on my heart a very long time ago, and it's still very prevalent today, and I still really feel this today. And that's the simple fact that I believe that God wants to raise up an army from this church. He wants to raise up an army from the group of believers that gather and listen and watch and function in this place. What exactly does that mean? I don't know. I don't have all of those detailed understandings yet. But I believe God wants to raise up an army of believers. I believe that He wants to just blow people away with the ministry and what happens here at Sanctuary Church. I do know something about an army, though. I do know that an army is disciplined. I know that an army is obedient, resourceful, ready at a moment's notice, battle-tested, and committed to their cause. That's what it takes to be a part of a unified army of believers. And I know that a well-trained army is a force to be reckoned with, especially an army who is led by General God. I pray God would do whatever it takes to make this army ready to serve the purpose that He has planned, the calling that He has put together for each of us. And I ask you that you would join me in praying that way as well. That God would raise up this army, that God would put in place everything that He needs to put in place to make this ministry function exactly the way He wants it to function, so that every year that this ministry continues is a year that is more and more and more functioning in the power, in the source, in the moving of the Spirit of God than it ever has been before. Again, not that we failed or done wrong, but that we continue to grow and do better. Amen? Pray with me that God would shore up, reinforce, build, do whatever He needs to do to make this ministry even better in the next 40 years. With all of that said, with everything that I've laid out to you this morning, I want to take a little bit of time to talk to you about a very critical need in developing the army that needs to be raised up here at Sanctuary. It's a need that is absolutely crucial for the ministry that God wants to do here. It's a need that is clearly rooted in Scripture, that is very biblically directed, that was established very, very early on in the church. A ministry, a need that we need to think very long and hard about this morning. I'm talking about the need for church leadership, specifically elders and deacons. Let me say, first of all, to those of you that have served in either one of those positions over the years of ministry here at Sanctuary, let me just start by saying thank you. Thank you. You have no idea what a blessing you have been to this church body. Your willingness to serve, your willingness to volunteer, your willingness to impart wisdom in many different areas of ministry can never, ever be repaid. So thank you to every single one of you who have ever served in leadership ministry. It's time for the rest of us to understand just how critically important those two ministries are to the body. And we need to understand how important it is to fulfill those roles here in this church from year to year. I said something a minute ago, and I want to repeat it again. They are leadership ministries. They're not just positions of service. They're not just volunteers. They are leadership ministry roles. They may not be out preaching on the street corner. They may not be in the soup kitchen dishing out ladles of soup to people. But trust me, ministry they are, without question. This church, no church, can function as biblically designed without these two ministries functioning as they are supposed to function within the body. Every single independent church has some reflection of these two ministries. They have their own description of what an elder or deacon is responsible for, but that ministry functions in every single church. We are part of the Assembly of God corporate fellowship. We choose to be a part of the Assemblies of God. So we have aligned our constitution, our bylaws, to agree with the National Assemblies of God ministry positions on deacons and elders and everything else within the church. We could be here for a very long time if we tried to go through all of those details outlined in our doctrines today. So that's not going to be what we choose to do this morning. If you are interested in a copy of Sanctuary's Constitution and Bylaws, touch base with the church office. We're glad to make you a copy. They're not some hidden document. They're not something that only you have to have top-level clearance in order to see. You are welcome to read through those documents anytime you desire. We are also glad to direct you to the Assemblies of God website. Take a look at their position papers and their documents and read through them at your leisure all that you want. But probably more important than anything, I encourage you to read through the books of Timothy and Titus within Scripture, because that's where a majority of our doctrine comes from when it comes to elders and deacons and their service. This morning, I do think it's very important that we talk about this. So this morning, I have prepared just a little bit of an overview this morning for these particular roles and the importance of them, so that we know what we're talking about when we talk about leadership, ministry, and deacons and elders. We're going to start with the elders this morning. I guess first let me say this. Biblically, we'll find, if you read through those documents we just talked about, you will find that both the elder and the deacon have very, very similar qualifications as far as who is qualified to be a deacon and an elder. Of course, we're talking spiritually within the body. A deacon, an elder, they're called to be mild, easygoing. These are my words. Now, I'm not quoting Scripture here. Mild, easygoing, hospitable, good behavior. There's all kinds of descriptions that are used in terms of qualities for a deacon and elder. The real difference is in their roles. What are their responsibilities? And in terms of our church, in terms of the Assembly of God, the elder is designated to oversee the spiritual life of the church. The spiritual life. It's two very important key words in regards to the elder's role. It's the elder who is responsible for keeping the pastor accountable. If I go off in some crazy doctrine or Pastor Brian starts preaching something he shouldn't, it's the elder's job to correct us. It's the elder's job to bring us back into alignment with Scripture and the Word of God. It's the elders that help keep the church on track as a whole with biblical teaching. So if there's a Sunday school or a Wednesday night or a club that seems to be drifting, again, it's the elder's responsibility to help with the overall spiritual direction of the church body. They help guide the church through spiritual battles or issues that impact the spiritual lives of people. Now, some of you may not know this, but we've had our fair share of spiritual battles in this body. We have, believe it or not. They've existed. All 40 years, they've existed. And it's the elders that are consulted and talked through and discussed with when it comes to that spiritual element of the church. I'll give you another example, and this one might seem a little strange, but it's a relatively fresh example. A couple years ago, when the pandemic shut everything down and we were told you can't meet, you can't get together on Sunday mornings, or we can't be the church that we have been for so many years. It was the elders that we spoke to about what our plan was. What was the right thing to do? What would keep people safe? When would we reopen? How would we reopen? And most importantly, in all of that, how could we continue to feed the flock and nurture the spiritual growth of God's people? Because that's the key, right? That's what church is really about. It's about growing and maturing and learning and then being the church and going out, right? So the elders were the ones that we consulted about how to deal with this physical issue at hand and still be the spiritual help and comfort and source and teaching that we are called to be. The elders are also the ones that help the pastoral staff when it comes to discipline. There's a fun word, right? I didn't say discipleship, I said discipline. And yes, again, there is a need from time to time to institute some disciplinary measures within the church body. Again, some of you may not know this. We've had two or three different cases over the years where we have had to have some serious discussions with individuals regarding discipline. And I personally know of at least one case, potentially two, where we actually had to ask people to leave the church. So there are times when spiritual discipline is a very necessary thing, and it is scriptural. It discusses it throughout Scripture, what the process is, how to do it, how to go about it. And that responsibility, as unpleasant as it may seem, is another thing that falls to the elders should that need arise. The elder is also the one that we constantly call on and talk to when it comes to praying for each other within the church. James 5:7 makes it very clear. It says, call the elders together, anoint people with oil, pray over them. I am in constant communication with our elders about prayer needs that have been expressed and people that are hurting or in need or whatever the case might be. And I guarantee you, Jim Cox and Dan Schoenthal, who serve as our elders currently, are incredible, incredible prayer warriors. They are before God's throne constantly lifting up needs, lifting up direction and desires. Incredible men of God. Let me just wrap up the elder here in a nutshell. I think we've made it pretty clear that they are responsible for spiritual items, the spiritual perspective of the body that we call sanctuary. How does an elder get to serve? Let me just talk about that real quick. It's the pastor's role to ask people to serve as an elder. So as we see individuals and the spiritual maturity that they gain, it's our role to ask them to serve in that, to be a part of that leadership. Then as they are asked and appointed by the pastor, if they are willing and agree, those of you that have been a part of our business meeting at any time know that every year we do what's called ratifying the elders, which is when the body of believers gives their agreement or approval to the individuals that have been asked to be that spiritual leader of the church. The second role that we want to talk about this morning is that of the deacon. Again, qualifications of the deacon and elder, very similar. You can look at those on your own. But it's the role of the deacon that is drastically different than that of the elder. The deacon serves on a board, and it is their job to oversee the business of the church. I know that's a horrible word when it comes to church. None of us like to mix business and church together. We try to avoid that idea of a church being somewhat like a business. And quite honestly, from a worldly perspective, you're right. The idea from a business needs to probably be as far from the church as possible. When you think about a lot, not all, but a lot of the different business aspects or things that happen in the business world. However, we still have to function and operate in the world that we live in. So there is still a business element to the church. From a business standpoint, we still have to deal with insurance companies. How many of you like insurance companies? I don't like insurance, any kind of insurance. But as a church, we still have to deal with insurance. We still have to deal with the mortgage company. We still have to pay our utilities. We still have to do different building repairs and fix things from time to time. We still hire staff. We also hire outside firms that support us and help us, like the snowplow people that clean off our parking lot so we have a place to park. We still need to access things like phone lines and internet. We still have well and septic maintenance to do. So there's all kinds of things that we still have to manage that fall under that idea of the business of the church. It's the deacon board that manages the cash flow of the church. Manages the cash flow. They look at it from every month. I don't know if you guys all realize that. Every month, our deacon board looks at the cash flow and says, great, we can do this, we can do this, we can do all these. Can't do that this month. They're the ones who manage the cash flow. They watch how things are working from a financial perspective around the body. Again, we don't like to talk about that, but guess what, folks? Ministry costs money. It's a simple truth. We don't focus on that. That's not something we harp on here at Sanctuary, but it takes everyone's contribution to make the ministry successful. Not just from time and effort, but financially as well. Because there is a cost to ministry. The deacon board looks at that, our bank accounts, and says, you know, do we have the reserves for this or that? Can we afford this improvement right now, or do we need to wait on that? The carpets need to be cleaned. Can we get that scheduled, or should we wait another month? It's all those kind of things that they do. And I think we get the idea. I think we get the understanding of the business-related items that they are responsible for. How a deacon comes into service, again, a little bit different than what an elder, than the process for an elder. Deacons are nominated by a committee of their peers, and then they are asked if they're willing to serve in that position. If they agree, then at our annual business meeting, they are voted on by the members of the church. And they are voted to be in that position. Now, two key things there that are very, very, very important. In order to vote, you have to be a member of the church. A lot of people call this church their home, but they are not members of this church. And, you know, I'm sorry that this is the way it's laid out, but if you are not a member of Sanctuary, you do not have a voice at Sanctuary in regards to the business aspect of things within the church. At our annual business meeting, they're voted on by the members, so you have to be a member in order to voice your opinion. And the second thing is the election of the deacons. The real purpose of that, or part of the purpose of that, is to place the church's authority for making decisions into the deacon's hands. That's what that is designed to do. In other words, the church body as a whole, all of us that call Sanctuary our home, give our okay to the smaller group of individuals on the board to make decisions on our behalf in regards to the functioning of this ministry. Again, let me give you another quick example. It's a simple, it's an easy one. A couple years ago, our copy machine in the office died, stopped working, couldn't do anything with it, couldn't make any copies. The deacons then had to decide what to do about a new piece of office equipment. So we looked around, we found what was available, we looked at different leases, we talked to different companies, and we determined what the most cost-effective and financially responsible decision was in regards to replacing our copier. And then we signed a new lease on a copier. They were able to make that decision on all of our behalves because we gave them the authority to do that. We said we trust them to make wise decisions. If that was not the case, every time we had to make a decision, we'd have to get together and have a business meeting. And every one of us would have to voice our opinion and talk about making the purchase or doing what needed to be done. And I bet you can just about imagine how well that would go. I'm sure if there were 75 people in that meeting, we would have 75 opinions of how to proceed. And the ability to proceed would be very difficult at best. So we have put our trust in the deacon board, in these individuals that sit on this board, so that they can make decisions for us on the everyday functioning of this church ministry. Okay, Pastor Kurt, 40 years of ministry, and what's the point of all of this? It's our anniversary Sunday. Why talk about deacons and elders today? Well, I've already told you. I've already given you the answer to that question. It's a very simple one. We have a lot more to do here at Sanctuary. There's a lot more ministry to accomplish in the years ahead, but that cannot be done without individuals who are willing to serve in those leadership ministries. Look at what God has done here. Look at all that God has brought us through. All of that falls to those two ministries in one way or another. The success, and dare I say any failures, but the success of that ministry in some way falls to the deacons and elders. I'm not skirting the responsibility myself. Ultimately, I'm a part of all of that too. So it falls to me as the lead or the senior pastor of Sanctuary. But if we don't have those ministries in place, we cannot function the way we are supposed to function. And I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. Over the last few years, we have had less and less and less people interested in serving as deacons or elders. I don't know the reasoning for everybody. I don't know why they have decided it's not for them. I don't know what's going through their mind or heart. Perhaps there was not clarity as to what those positions involved. Perhaps there was a lack of understanding of what needs to be done in those different leadership roles. Perhaps some have thought it's a full-time job and have no idea how they could possibly be a part of it and still have their own regular full-time job. I'm here to tell you this morning that the success of the next 40 years of ministry is at a pivotal point in regards to our leadership in this church, in regards to our deacons and elders. And I'm going to tell you this morning, as I'm standing here, these are not roles, these are not positions that will overwhelm anybody who is willing to serve in them. They're not a 24/7 job. They don't happen 365 days a year. They are very much doable for anybody who qualifies and is willing to serve in those roles. The deacon board meets one time a month. A month. And in my memory, I don't think of a time we have ever, ever, ever been longer than a two-hour meeting. Most of the time, it's probably about an hour. So the idea of not being doable, scratch that off your excuse list, if that was an excuse of yours. The elders has varied how often we've met, when we've met, depending on different situations. That's varied in the past. But any person that is eligible to serve in these positions is, without a doubt, able to serve in these positions. Let me clear up one other misunderstanding that often gets tossed around. Oh, Pastor Kurt, The deacons are all about business. I'm not business savvy. I don't know anything about business. Guess what? Neither do I. In my heart, folks, as humbly as I can say this, that's a horrible excuse. If God is asking you to serve in that position, God will give you the wisdom you need to serve in that position. It's just that simple. I've learned more about commercial mortgages in the last 5 years than I ever thought I'd know about in my life. But God has given me the ability to understand what I need to understand about it. He's given me the ability to step in that position and at least know what's going on with it. So to say that you're incapable or God hasn't gifted you in that way or you're not smart enough or you're not business savvy, if God wants you there, He will give you the wisdom you need to be there. So I encourage you to cross that one off your list as well. We're going to go into the fellowship hall here in just a little bit, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to have cake. We're going to look at pictures. We're going to get excited about what the last 40 years has brought. But I want you to understand that that could not have been successful without the leadership of the deacons and the elders who have served in those positions over the last 40 years. We have to understand that. And we have to understand that to be successful for another 40 years means we need more individuals who are willing to serve in those positions just like their predecessors did. This is January 9th, our annual business meeting is only about 6 weeks away, roughly. Typically the end of February we get together. So this whole process of electing and appointing and ratifying deacons and elders is just about to begin. Again, I don't know that that is on everybody's mind, but the first of the year, the current deacon board starts the whole process of finding their replacements. The elders begin praying about elder leadership. That all happens now. Even though we're weeks and weeks away from the church as a whole being involved in it. So I am going to ask you, 6 weeks, whatever it is ahead of time, start praying about what God wants you to do. Not what He wants your neighbor to do. Not what He's called John or Sally or Sue to do, but what God wants you to do. What is He asking you to be a part of? How is He asking you to carry on the leadership ministry over the next 40 years? Because the next 40 years of successful ministry depends on your willingness to serve. I know that seems like a heavy load, but it's true. It falls on you. If we're going to be successful for the next 40 years, you have a great deal of responsibility in that. And I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I know if we are willing, He is able. So if we're willing to be who He has called us to be, He is able to do mighty and incredible things for another 40 years. Father God, I thank You for the ministry that You have planted here so long ago. I thank You for all that has happened in and through New Life Sanctuary. Lord, I thank You most of all for the people You have saved, and those who have come to know You, put their faith and their hope and their trust in You. Lord, I also know that there is way more of that to be done. Way more of the gospel to be spread. More people that are need to be encouraged and comforted and loved especially in our society today. God, I pray that you would help us to be who you want us to be for the next 40 years. Pour out your blessing on your people. Pour out your blessing on this ministry. Pour out your blessing on the things that take place from here. Rise up the army that you want to serve and function in this place. God, help us to do all the things that you want us to do with all the stuff that you have given us to do it with. Lord, we pray that you are glorified and honored greater and greater year after year in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.